Welcome to Reclaim Your Power, Inspiration and Reflections for Before, During and After Childbirth, a podcast about birth, getting in touch with our bodies and talking about things that aren't often discussed or that you may not find in mainstream sources of information. A podcast to transform the way you plan for and approach birth, moving from fear and uncertainty to empowerment and inspiration. My name is Fungisai, which means to remind, and that's what I aim to do here. Remind you that the power lies within you and that it all starts with you. What is one of the things we most dread when we think of giving birth? Pain. When I look at all the various techniques that are offered to help women avoid or reduce this dreaded experience and make birth easier, it makes me wonder, why are we so afraid of pain during childbirth? How do we understand this pain? And if we looked at it in a different way, would this help us? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that pain is fun or that we should just suffer through it and not get any kind of pain relief. But if we think back to previous episodes in my podcast, especially episode 2, Fear, and episode 5, Hormones, it's important to understand what underlies our relationship with pain and if this is something that should be applied to childbirth. Today, I will reflect on the fear of pain during childbirth, present an alternative way we can try to look at this, and talk about the different ways to manage pain. As usual, I will reflect on and share my experiences where relevant, but I'll also share from my experiences as a doula. Now, we all have our own subjective experiences, attitudes towards pain or pain thresholds. By pain threshold, I mean how much pain we can endure or tolerate. Some people have a very low pain threshold and will react strongly to the slightest cut. Some have a very high threshold and can have a broken arm or a deep cut and still manage to walk, move, etc. I'm sure you've all heard stories of people who fall, break a bone, and then continue whatever they were doing until they're finished and then take themselves off to hospital. There are also different types of pain: sharp pain, deep throbbing pain, dull pain, pain that comes in bursts, pain that feels like something is being twisted inside, burning pain, etc. You get the picture. There's a variety, and we all describe and experience it differently. Our relationship with pain can be something that is not just physical, but psychological. So you may react strongly to the pain, not because of the intensity of the pain, but how you perceive it. Now, if I cut my finger, I think, ow, that's sore, and oh, there's blood, and okay, I'll take care of it, I'll put a plaster. Others, however, will go into a panic at the sight of blood or even faint, and that may be based on their previous experience. Usually people don't even know why they react this way. Maybe as a child they saw a parent reacting with fear, and this has somehow been ingrained in them, that a cut or blood is something to be feared. My point here is that how we react to pain can be a learned reaction. If you see everyone else freaking out, you think, well, maybe that's the way I should react. Because we're social animals, and many of us model our behavior either on our parents, our peers, etc. This can also work in the opposite way, where some people are taught not to overreact. So when they're in real debilitating pain, they don't say it or show it, which can also be dangerous. Usually, pain is a message from our body to tell us that something is not as it should be. It's our natural alarm system. It's a sign that we are alive, our bodies are working, that something is wrong, and we need to respond or react. So when you cut, burn, break something in your body, it's perfectly natural to be concerned and to want to do something to soothe it and take the hurt away. So how is this pain that we all experience in one form or another different from pain during childbirth? The thing to remember is that during childbirth, we're not being injured. We haven't stumbled and fallen or cut ourselves accidentally or broken a bone. Childbirth is a positive process where the baby that's been growing inside us for 40 or so weeks is now ready to come out into the world to meet us. The pain we feel during this process is a positive pain. With the medicalization of birth and the movement away from relying on our instincts and our intuition during pregnancy and birth, we've become socialized to experience and treat birth pain just like any other pain we experience, to fight the sensation in our bodies. Ina May Gaskin, an American midwife whom I consider as a revolutionary where issues of pregnancy, birth, and beyond are concerned, puts it in a lovely way. In her book, Ina May's Guide to Childbirth, she writes, "The pain of labor and birth has an entirely different message. It says, relax your pelvic muscles, let go, surrender, go with the flow. Don't fight this. It's bigger than you." Now, I can imagine most people will roll their eyes when they hear this, especially if they've been through birth. They'll say, well, as far as I remember, it hurt like hell. Yes, it hurts. But the pain, or our experience of the pain, is affected by our attitude to it, just like anything else. If you approach pain in labor and childbirth as something to fight and escape from, then it will hurt like hell, and you'll see no purpose to it. But if, as Ina May puts it, you embrace or surrender to this pain or to the sensation, then your experience will be transformed. This doesn't mean that there'll be no pain, although I've heard this can happen, but that you will work with your body instead of against it. She suggests that instead of thinking of the pain as contractions, which is a word I use for clarity, to think of them as sensations in your body. Some people call them waves or surges, and this may help to visualize the wave, the water rising until it crests, and then it comes down again and recedes as you go through these sensations, which is exactly what happens as the muscles in our uterus squeeze and relax. Understanding how the body is working and why makes all the difference to our relationship with pain and childbirth. The environment we're in is also important. If we are surrounded by bright lights and sterility, we're more likely to find it difficult to surrender and let go because our instincts are telling us that we need to be alert, ready to flee or fight, and we are thus more likely to produce the appropriate adrenaline hormones. If all you see are tubes and medical equipment around you, you won't feel safe and you'll expect bad things to happen. That equipment isn't there for nothing. You're in an environment where you'll need to be rescued. You're in a hospital, a place where people come to be cured. But as I said in an earlier episode, pregnancy is not an illness and giving birth should not ordinarily require medication. Society has taken away the natural environment of the birth space and replaced it with something that causes our bodies to react with fear and tension because they feel threatened. So what causes pain? I won't go into biological details, but just give you a quick overview. The muscles in your body contract or squeeze, and you are exerting a lot of energy as your muscles contract and relax to move your baby down and out of your body. The baby has to move from the uterus, where it is lying, with its head against your cervix, that's the opening of the uterus. As the baby's head puts pressure on the cervix, hormones are released to soften the cervix and it begins to stretch and thin. And that is why when you're checked, the midwives will tell you how many centimeters you have dilated. This means how much the cervix has opened. You can experiment with this by putting a small ball into a narrow balloon and then squeezing the top of the balloon, and you will see how the opening of the balloon stretches and opens. That's roughly what's happening in your body. This means that the muscles are working hard, squeezing and pushing. Some of the muscles in your uterus will work vertically to squeeze, and some will work horizontally to push down. This is hard work. Your baby is also moving around in your uterus in a way, in a corkscrew way, and moving down. So there's a lot going on. Also think of when you run very fast for a long time or walk up a steep hill. At some point, your muscles hurt because they're working hard. This is what happens, and this is where the pain comes from. So if we can understand this pain and flow with it instead of tensing and fighting against it, we may still feel the pain, but we'll cope with it much better because we'll understand it. If we accept that something incredible is happening in our bodies and find ways to surrender to this, our experiences will most likely be more positive. Fighting against this pain and feeling stressed makes our bodies produce stress hormones, and this will affect the muscles, causing them to cramp up, resulting in increased pain, slower dilation, failure to progress, and a likelihood of intervention. I mentioned the importance of the environment, and in episode 5, when I discussed hormones, I explained how our instinctive or primitive brain is affected by our environment because it has been wired or programmed to release the hormones under certain conditions. Birth usually starts in the evening or at night when we're at rest and totally relaxed, and when it's dark or dim. So we associate dark or dim lighting with relaxation and slowing down, and an environment that has low lighting makes us feel more relaxed and it's easier for us to flow with the rhythm of our bodies. Breath is important, and this is where I recommend yoga. Yoga helps us become aware of our breath and how we breathe. I'm sure you're thinking, well, I know how to breathe. Why do I need some new age hippie to tell me how to breathe? Well, nowadays there is so much online and so many apps you can use. But if you can manage it, a good antenatal yoga class will provide you with a variety of skills that you can use during pregnancy, birth, and beyond. Having an awareness of your breath and appreciating how breathing in different ways can help us to calm down, can help us manage pain, and is one of the most important things you can learn. I'll talk more about this in the next episode. The other way to deal or cope, or to help you cope better, is movement. Remember in episode 2 when I talked about the woman lying on her back in the TV program, screaming her head off? Well, this is fiction, but in real life, she'd probably be screaming her head off because she would be in really intense pain. Lying on your back slows down labor, makes it longer, and causes you more pain. One of the amazing things that happens when the baby's head is descending through the birth canal is that your tailbone lifts, so there's more space in your pelvis for the small person with a big head to come through. I think this is kind of cool. What amazing bodies we have. Now, when you lie on your tailbone, where's it going to lift to? Nowhere. That's more pain, more strain. I'm still amazed that more midwives do not insist that women get off their bums, so to speak. I had an episiotomy with my first birth because my son wasn't coming out when I pushed. And of course, it was taking time. It was my first birth, so the muscles around there were tight. Plus, I was in a semi-reclining position and my poor tailbone had nowhere to go. I watched my first client go through exactly the same thing, much to my frustration. But I also watched how keeping the tailbone down helped slow down a birth that would have been too fast. So although I would say keep your tailbone free at all times, it all depends on the circumstances. If your baby is shooting out like a mini rocket, best to sit on that tailbone to help slow things down. Movement helps the uterus to work more efficiently, and keeping your body upright and leaning forward is apparently one of the best positions to help your uterine muscles work well. However, go with what feels comfortable. If you're following your instincts, your body will let you know which position and movements are best. Don't overthink it. Just flow. More detail in my next episode. So, the more you can relax your body, the better you'll cope with birth. As I talked about in the episode on hormones, the same hormones that are produced during birth and the ones that are produced when we have sex are the same. These two activities are so closely linked that some women have been known to have what are called orgasmic births. Now, when I first heard this term, I was just as shocked as I'm sure some of you are who are listening in. How can childbirth, which is painful, be linked to something that is supposed to be pleasurable, sex? Well, hormones. I won't go into detail because I've not experienced it and neither have any of my clients, but I mention it because it does happen and it must be a result of total and complete surrender to your body, to your instincts, so that your hormones are really flowing and you are completely at one with your body. You experience ecstasy. Ina May Gaskin's book has details of this experience for those who are interested to know more. Water is another natural way to help ease pain during labor. I have an affinity for water, so for me, once I discovered the idea and possibility of water birth, I thought, wow, of course this is perfect. And for me, it was perfect. Once I went into the water, especially with my second birth, where I had pelvic girdle pain, I was weightless. I could easily move around in the water or just float and relax between contractions. And the warm water was so soothing. And if you think of it, as babies, we ourselves were floating in fluid once inside our mother's bodies. So it's only natural we should want to birth in water. It's so much less stressful for the baby to come from a fluid environment into another fluid environment before hitting the cold air. But I realize this isn't for everyone. Of course, you can still use water for relaxation and pain relief. It doesn't have to be a special birthing pool, although that is extra deep, so you can really be enveloped in water. But you can also lie in a bath or take a shower. Water can be very soothing. In my second birth, I used a TENS machine. This stands for transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation. That's a mouthful. I found out about this during my research and hired a unit and used it during the first stage of birth before I went to the birthing pool. I had 4 electrodes attached to my lower back, and then I had a unit which I held in my hand and where I had buttons which I pressed when contractions came. This sent a mild electrical current into my body and helped take the edge off the pain. I really noticed the difference when I stopped using it, just before I got into the birthing pool and I had a contraction. Then I felt the difference in the level of pain, so it really did work well. I could also move around freely and felt in control over, you know, using this pain relief. And it had no side effects. It's a natural pain relief that doesn't interfere with the birthing process. I said I would reflect on different ways to cope with pain, and so far I've presented the techniques or methods of coping that I have personal experiences with. There's also massage, especially lower back massage or pressure to this area. That's something that can be soothing and that your birthing partners can do for you. They don't need to have any special experience, but of course a bit of practice massage during pregnancy would be highly appreciated. Some women feel a lot of pain in their lower back. I had that with my first baby. And initially I was confused because I thought, okay, you're supposed to feel the pain in front. Why am I feeling it in the back? So it took me a while before I realized that I was actually in labor. Sometimes this is caused by the position of the baby, or sometimes that's just how your body works. So don't be surprised if for the majority of your labor, you have what feels like back pain. A hot water bottle or some kind of warm compress may be soothing. For example, those lavender wheat bags that can be heated in the microwave. Lavender is also very relaxing and soothing. You can also use essential oils to soothe and relax or to stimulate. For example, if the contractions are too slow, but always check with a qualified aromatherapist what to use, when, and how. Some people use homeopathy, but again, consult an experienced homeopath. Bach flower remedies are something that is also recommended. Always check whatever you use if these are safe for use during pregnancy and birth and when and how to use them. Acupuncture, reflexology. These are tools, for example, some doulas and midwives offer. But again, although these may help, think about how much disturbance you want. Obviously, if whatever is done to help you cope with the pain does not keep you alert, but is done in such a sensitive way that you can stay in the flow or in the zone, so to speak, then that's okay. I know there are many sensitive practitioners out there who know how to work with women during birth without disturbing their flow. Now we come to the one you've all been waiting for, the medical, the epidural. So many times I've heard pregnant women go on about how this is a miracle worker and how the first thing they will ask for when they're in labor is an epidural. And I'm amazed at the totally uncritical way this method of pain relief is embraced. We are so trusting that we don't think about what it means to have an injection in our spine that makes us lose feeling in our limbs. Maybe I'm strange, but I find this loss of control of my limbs terrifying. I've heard of epidural headaches, and depending on how the epidural is administered, there can be other side effects, or you may not feel anything when it's time to push the baby out. So this may lead to a cascade of interventions. The baby may end up in distress. You may need to then have an episiotomy and for the baby to be pulled out either with forceps or vacuum extraction. Not a great way for your little one to enter the world. I have, of course, witnessed an epidural used very skillfully to great effect, where it helped my client get the rest she needed, and then it wore off and she had all the sensation back and had her birth without any extra interventions. I've tried to present some of the different options to help you manage or cope with pain during labor. I'm not saying anything is right or wrong at the end of the day. It's your body, your choice. What I'm saying is that don't make a choice because of what your mother, grandmother, mother-in-law, best friend, sister, neighbor, etc. experienced. Their bodies and their circumstances are different to yours. Choose what feels right for you. Make an informed decision and don't make a decision based on ignorance, misinformation, or fear. What is important is that you feel safe and in control. If getting pain relief, such as an epidural, is what will help you feel control of your birth and to have a gentle birth, then choose that, as long as it's an informed choice. Remember, pain is not there just to make you suffer. It's a positive sensation. Your body is working hard to bring your baby out into the world. Don't fight your body. Work with it. Flow with it. Surrender to it. My next episode will be about birthing your way, where I'll talk about some of the things I've touched on today, such as positions during labor, movement, sound, and more in a bit more detail. I hope you'll join me. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast and you think someone you know may benefit from these reflections, please share. Thank you for being here, for listening. This is Fungisai, reminding you to reclaim your power.